Thank you, Jerry and Joe. Enjoy the fireworks show in Houston. And we will catch you tomorrow night when the Blue Jays try to take another step towards winning another series. They've won four straight series since the All-Star break. They are now 11-4 since the break. They do fall to 2.5 games back of the Baltimore Orioles for first place in the American League East with this loss because the Orioles won. But they do pick up a game on the Seattle Mariners. So they're three games up on the Mariners for that second wild card in the American League. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays again. Two hits after the second inning. Two singles after the second inning. They lose 3-1 to the Houston Astros. We begin with Matt in Bakersfield, California. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Got a couple bums to pick tonight. But first off, we didn't gain a game on Seattle. We just stayed put with them. They didn't.
Oh, right, because that's why they were still down three. I was wondering why it didn't switch from 3-4.
Yeah,
you're right. Both teams lose.
Well, I mean,
thank you.
I don't know
you.
How we'd gain a game by losing. But
yeah, no, that you're right.
Yeah, I know. When you look at the standings so much, you get confused minute by minute. But I have a couple bones to pick. And, like, I hear all this numbers talk supporting moves and everything. I'm going to start with tonight's game first. With bringing in Loop tonight, and I'm sure Twitter, you know, blew you up about it. But that was the wrong move. I hear you and Barry Davis saying it was right. I mean, the only matchup it favors is against Grossman. I don't understand how you justify bringing in a left-hander when you're going to have to face the guy who has the most hits in the major leagues, who's batting over 400 against lefties with almost a 450 on-base percentage against lefties. You're guaranteeing it's a 50-50 chance for him to get on base. That's my first comment. And my second one is with Prado about not acquiring him, that was clearly about the money. Because I looked at his stats, and he would be a significant upgrade over Valencia or Kawasaki. His splits are way better in almost every category.
We discussed this, Matt, on Twitter yesterday, and you were wrong with the numbers then, and I don't understand.
But where am I wrong? I want to know.
Because Martin Prado is not as good a hitter against left-handers as Danny Valencia or Steve Tolleson. He's not as good a hitter against right-handers as Munenori Kawasaki is. Pardon?
He's batting over 300 against lefties. He's batting over 250 against righties.
He's, again,
average is 275.
Yeah, and Kawasaki's hitting 270 with runners in scoring position. It's not, and that's not a big enough sample size to really matter. But, you repeating the numbers doesn't make you right. Steve Tolleson and Danny Valencia are both doing better against lefties than Prado is. Kawasaki's doing better against righties than Prado is. I don't know
but
why
also
this is.
Take up two roster spots instead of one.
But they're better
against lefties.
Platoons work. A platoon of those two guys is better than having that one guy who's not as good as those two guys.
But then again, it also takes up two roster spots. I don't know. I think it was about the money. But
it's about the fact that they've already got better production.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate you taking my argument.
Okay. The loop thing, I don't have a problem having Aaron Loop throwing against Gregorio Petit, right, coming into that game. And with Blue Jays bullpen right now, Aaron Sanchez pitched two innings last night, so he's not going to be able to pitch tonight. It was going to be McGowan and Loop to try to get you to Casey Jansen. And to be honest, I'm not sure why Loop was the call over McGowan. And McGowan wasn't even warming up. It was Loop and Jenkins. I'm thinking maybe it had to do with the fact that it was a tie game. You're holding on to Dustin for later, but that doesn't make any sense either. I don't know why it was Loop and not McGowan. Maybe it was the bottom of the lineup that's petted, but it's a good point with Jose Altuve coming up who destroys lefties. But Aaron Loop is one of the now four guys that John Gibbons trusts in his bullpen. Aaron Loop has been very, very good against right-handed hitters this year. Going into this game, righties were hitting .218 against him. He'd allowed one home run all year, and the convergence of events that sees him give up a Gregorio Petit's first major league home run is kind of nuts. But I believe that, this is a guy who John Gibbons trusts, and when you say that Barry Davis and I both said it was the right move, I didn't say it was the right move. I said it was not the wrong move. And maybe McGowan is the right move. Maybe something's up, which is why he wasn't warming up. You never know. But this is a trusted reliever in the Blue Jays bullpen. This is not a guy with severe splits. Well, the splits are severe because lefties don't touch him at all, but righties don't hit him well. And more often than not, he's gone in and got the job done. Blue Jays lose it 3-1, and it's less about Aaron Loop than it is about the fact that the Blue Jays got two hits after the second inning. Frank is in Markham. Frank.
Hey, Mike. My call tonight isn't specifically about tonight's game. It's more about all the reports from the media, from the players. And then another one today that I found very interesting from the other network that you guys compete with. A reporter spoke to a veteran player on the Jays team, and apparently the Blue Jays player said that if this team does fall apart and they don't make the playoffs in the next 2 months, that according to him and talking to players in the clubhouse, that a lot of players will actually be moved out of Toronto this offseason. Now, they have going into tonight, they have a three-game lead on that second wild card.
Yes.
Why do they care about what's going to happen in 2 months down the road if they don't make the playoffs? It seems like they are extremely teed off at Alex Anthopoulos for not doing what to make the team better at the deadline. And they're carrying it over again into today. I don't know. It probably did not affect the play. I don't believe in that stuff. But yet, it seems like they're talking about it. They want it out there. They want people to know that if they don't make it, you know, we did our best. We didn't get any help, and now we want out of here. I just found that comment today to that reporter very interesting. I don't get the why they're thinking that now when they do have a nice cushion and they can build on that if they continue to win games like they were previously.
You know what? I didn't hear the comment. I haven't read the report. I know that our competition has one reporter on the road with the Blue Jays, and I didn't see him.
That was the report.
I didn't see him tweet anything about anything like that today, and I'll take a look and see. But this is I don't believe that there is a widespread feeling in the Blue Jays clubhouse that if this team doesn't make the playoffs, everyone's going to ask out. And again, I'm looking at his Twitter feed. I don't see anything, like I didn't see anything today.
He did not tweet it out. I just happened to listen to the station. He was,
shouldn't be listening to that station, first of all. But second of all,
I apologize. He had brought it up in a conversation when he was on air with a certain segment, and he had said he had just spoken to the player. So he had called into the radio station. Maybe you know him. You could talk to him and find out.
Yeah, he's going to love that we're talking about him so much on this show. But look, the thing is, they're frustrated. And and I understand that they're frustrated, and I understand why they're frustrated. But they won last night in a back-and-forth game, and it didn't affect anything last night. And they didn't get six hits off the Houston Astros tonight because they're upset that the Blue Jays didn't add anything at the deadline, right?
No, 100%. I don't believe in that stuff carries over into the game,
right? And my feeling too about players being disenchanted is you signed a contract. You can want to leave all you want, but I'm under no obligation to ensure that I get you out of here. And I don't believe. I know that there's frustration in the room, and I know that they want help and they feel like they're not getting it. But winning cures everything. And when Lori and Lynn and Encarnacion come back, they'll all be thrilled about how much of a boost it is. And look, it's the player's job to want to help, to want to get help, to want to win, to want to be surrounded by all-stars. And all players should feel that way. But I don't think that there's any sort of mutiny coming or anything like that. Or any widespread, we got to get out of here if this team doesn't make the playoffs thing happening.
Well, I agree with you there, but do you think maybe this frustration and anger, whatever you want to call it, goes back to maybe the disbelief they have in Alex Anthopoulos? Because all year, all you've been hearing from AA and Paul Beeson is if we're competing and we're in a playoff spot, there is no qualms about it. We will spend it. We have the money. We will do it. We will improve the team if we have a chance. And yet all you're hearing in the last 48 hours from multiple reports and respectable reporters that the Blue Jays could have had certain players, but they asked those teams if they can keep the money for the rest of the year. I think the players have lost, some players at least have lost faith in Arcopolis. I'm just afraid it's the guys that have been here for a while and that are really good players. Like when you have Casey Johnson basically calling out your GM saying he didn't want to go for it this year, I don't think he wants to sign next year if we don't make the playoffs. I feel he's obviously our best pitcher in the bullpen. I just think this team, at least some of the guys, I think they just had it with the beginning of the year. Arcopolis apparently, or the ownership, whoever it was, asked the team, some players to defer money. It's just it's been, I think, a circus, and it's been a constant contradictory of Arcopolis and what he's saying to the media and what he's saying to the players. I just feel like there's been a big gap in trust here, and it's finally catching up to this, to the management of the team. I just hope the players just, put this away. We don't hear of it again, and just continue to. They've been playing great ball. They lost tonight. Who cares? Well, hopefully they won, but let's continue to build on these wins and just ignore the other nonsense for now. But I just found it very interesting today with that reporter and that report. So.
All right, I appreciate it, Frank. And someone on Twitter is telling me that the report was that one veteran player said that he is considering asking for a trade if the Blue Jays don't make the playoffs, which is a lot different than a bunch of guys going to want out. So it's interesting. And I do, like I said, I don't want to get into too much repeating ourselves, but I do know that there are a lot of people who are very upset. I think that it's on the wrong guy. I don't think anyone's upset with Alex Anthopoulos. I think they're upset with ownership. But I also don't believe that there were trades out there to be made that the Blue Jays didn't make because of money. I mean, look at Osdrubal Cabrera traded by the Indians to the Nationals. Cleveland's paying his whole contract. And if the Blue Jays had wanted him, Cleveland would have paid his whole contract. He doesn't help this team significantly. Marty Prado doesn't help this team significantly, and certainly not significantly enough that you're going to pay him $11 million each of the next 2 years after this one. Stephen Drew doesn't help this team. These are players who have been good who are having bad years. John Lester, David Price, absolutely. But, trade Jose Bautista for John Lester, I don't know that that helps the Blue Jays in the overall. And I certainly don't think Jose Bautista would have been too thrilled about it either when he's talking about how much he wants his team to win if he's the guy leaving in a trade. Earl in Toronto, you're listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike. After tonight's game, I'm a little disappointed just the way it ended. I mean, no disrespect to their reliever, but I just can't handle the ball being at the plate and we go down. Our last two hitters taking strikes, not even swinging. If it's that close, you've got to make contact. You just can't leave the lumber on your shoulder and not swing.
Is it okay if Casey Jansen strikes out people looking to get a save?
Oh no, I'm not. Listen, I'm not saying that. It's not a tough position, but to have both guys, right? And if it's close, I'm just saying, Mike, you're down by two runs. The home run.
Rasmus didn't strike out looking. He struck out swinging on a ball off the plate, but a pitch that he took in the first pitch that was well off the plate but was called a strike. So I don't blame Colby Rasmus for that one.
Okay.
And look, Danny Valencia doesn't hit righties.
And he had
three hits the last couple of games against righties, and so he's hot, and that earned a little confidence, and keep him in there. He took a pitch. It's not as easy as you think.
I don't say that.
Well, but you're saying you can't go down swinging to end a game. I'm telling you, it's not as easy as you think.
That's fair enough. I'm just saying I just like to have saw him swinging. That's all I'm saying. My other two real quick points is the talk about Hutchison. listen, you're going to have to shut him down. He had Tommy John surgery. What's your thoughts on this? If they know this is coming, why would you not put Chantez in his spot and then put Hutchinson as the reliever? I mean, Chantez is supposed to be a starter eventually.
Yep.
He's got to find out.
No, not this year he doesn't.
What's the difference with Hutchinson without Tommy John surgery being so green, and you had to find out and put him in there? What's the difference of putting Chantez in now and saving Hutchinson's arm?
Well, first of all, your thesis statement that Drew Hutchinson is going to have to be shut down at some point this season is untrue. The Blue Jays have said that there are no plans to put an innings limit on Hutchinson. Now,
He's
having a hard time right now.
Right.
I don't think there's any question about that. And I wonder, and I talked about it with Joe Siddle before the game, you wonder if maybe they don't use the off day in August to skip him on Monday. And there are like five off days in August, so they'll have a chance to give guys breathers every once in a while.
Right.
But there are no plan. There's no innings limit on him,
And
there's no plan to remove him from the rotation.
I just heard numbers it's over your station that how many innings they want to pitch. But that's fair enough. My last question is, I've noticed in the last start of the year something that is very unusual, and I'm not saying this because that I'm right. It's just a question of curiosity. I listen to all the games. I'm blind, and Jerry Hallworth is pretty right on for the most part. But is his health everything okay? Because Jerry's called a lot of things wrong this year. Like he's got confused about even who's playing in the game, and it's just an observation of that I never seen him so off. So as far as you know, like is everything okay with Jerry?
As far as I know. Yeah, as far as I know, he's totally fine. I don't think there's any health issues.
Yeah, well,
there's
not.
No, he's Jerry is healthy as a horse. And he's, you know, done this thing for more than 30 years now. 68 years old, and I can see him doing it another 10. No, there's certainly nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with Jerry Howarth's health. I appreciate the call. And those of you who are on hold, listen up, because this has been an issue the last little while. I'm going to say goodbye at the bottom of the hour, but we are going to continue Blue Jays talk till midnight Eastern time on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca. So if you are on hold now, we will get to you. I promise. If you're not on hold now, get on hold. Got lines open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays fall 3-1 to the Houston Astros. It's Blue Jays talk. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Blue Jays fall 3-1 to the Houston Astros, who have the second worst record in the major leagues. The Astros have won three of their last five. And two of three against the Oakland A's before the Blue Jays came to town. So, you know, it's baseball. Even the worst teams win 40% of their games. Tough to sweep, especially a four-game series. The Blue Jays are now 6-2 on this road trip. They do lose a game in the standings to the Orioles. Baltimore beat Seattle tonight by a score of 2-1. The Jays are now 2.5 games back of the Orioles for first in the East. The Yankees are 6 back. They lost to the Boston Red Sox 4-3. And the Mariners, with the loss, remain 3 games back of the Blue Jays for the second wild card in the American League. What else is going on in the major leagues, you may ask? The White Sox leading the Twins 8-7 in the bottom of the eighth. Royals over the A's 1-0 in the bottom of the sixth on a home run by Raul Ibanez. Earlier, the Indians took down the Rangers 12-2, and it was the Angels over the Tampa Bay Rays by a score of 5-3, Josh Hamilton got hit by a pitch, though, and had to leave the game. So keep an eye on that one. Series continues tomorrow night, Saturday Night Baseball. We're on the air at 6:30 p.m. Eastern with a pregame show. First pitch is at 7:10. R.A. Dickey gets the call against the lefty, Brett Oberholzer. Again, stick around and keep Blue Jays talk going up on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You've been listening to Home Hardware. Blue Jays Baseball brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and J.D. Bunkus, bye-bye.
Grab your advanced sabermetric research and join us here in therapy. Toronto Blue Jays Baseball continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Strike three called. The Astros win it 3-1. Valencia will walk away with a plate umpire, Chris Conroy, debating that last call, but it's in the books. Houston 3, the Blue Jays 1.
And Danny Valencia goes down looking, and it was a strike, according to the box, to end the ball game. Blue Jays lose it 3-1 to the Houston Astros. Six-game win streak is done, and they lose a game to the Orioles. 2.5 back of first place now in the AL East, but still 3 up on the Mariners for that second wild card spot. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Back to the phones. We go to Chris in Stony Creek. Chris, yes, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mikey. Thank you. Great.
I feel
show
for
today.
You, Chris, and the Stony Creekers. I feel for you guys trying to go on the highway and stuff.
Buddy, it's crazy,
I can't imagine.
It's crazy. I had to work downtown tonight, and it took me 2 hours just to go from Hamilton to Burlington. It was nuts.
Sorry to hear, man.
It was not good. The reason for my call was a couple points, and then I have a question to ask you. One, I think all Blue Jay fans need to relax in terms of ownership and management and the money. The reason why a deal wasn't made was because Alex didn't want to give anybody up off of the roster, and obviously some of our lower prospects, they weren't what people were looking for. If you look at for the number of players that moved, a lot of the guys were big league players or guys that were big league ready players, right?
Yeah, pretty much all the guys who moved in the big trades were, you know, not just big leaguers, but all-stars and significant contributors at one point in time in the major leagues. I'm firmly convinced that the ask for the Blue Jays for John Lester was Jose Bautista.
For sure. For sure. And, you know, if you're looking at somebody like, let's say, Price, you know, if you're comparing it with, let's say, even Lester or the Tigers, you know, if you're looking at the Boston, let's say, and they want somebody from the Jays, they're going to ask for something more, obviously, because it's within the division. But I think a lot of these questions that Jays fans have about ownership and money and is the money there, everybody has just got to wait and relax, because what costs you money today is free tomorrow. We're going to find that out in August, and we're going to find that out in the off season when they go back and try to sign Melky Cabrera, and they go and look and say, you know, do we need to add another frontline pitcher? So that's going to answer a lot of our questions in a couple months. But my question to you is, in August, what do you think of Bartolo Colon?
I have a hard time buying into Bartolo Colon. It feels to me like it's all going to come crashing down any second with him. Doesn't it? I mean, doesn't it feel like that?
You know what? It really does. When you see him on the mound, and you see him, he's 41, I think, now or something,
yep.
Right?
That's what he tells us. He's 41.
You're just waiting for. You're wondering how he's keeping it up. You know, it's just I think watching Hutchison there, I just think that like you can mix him in with some off days. That's one of the names that popped in my mind as somebody that you could kind of throw in there to have some spot starts or some long relief or something, you know what I mean? But just in general, I think even if the Jays don't do anything, I think I agree with your point, say, when you were on with Tim, I think, and you were saying, this is a good team, and they don't have as many holes as the Yankees did or as Boston did, so people just need to kind of relax. And I think some of the comments coming out of the clubhouse, like, it's really great and it's really good that we get the inside track and people and the Jays players are open to what they're feeling, but people need to not kind of over exacerbate the situation. You know, now people want to leave and we're out of here. They're just disappointed we didn't add anything, but they're still going to go out on the field and they're still going to give their 100%, right?
Well, they did last night, and they certainly, I mean, there's no complaint for me as far as effort goes from the Blue Jays. And again, it's one guy who's talking about, thinking about asking for a trade if the Blue Jays don't make the playoffs. And so...
But you know what, Mike, let me ask you a question. If the Jays didn't make the playoffs at all, whether they won 80 games or whether they won 60 games, guys are going to say that they want to leave. Just like you said before, man, winning cures a lot of these things, and winning makes a lot of people stay on a lot of teams. If the Jays make it into the playoffs and show that they can contend, these guys are going to want to stay.
One hopes so. But again, I totally get players being disappointed with the Blue Jays not making big moves. I think that a lot of the fans who are upset by it kind of feel like they're validated in their upsetness by the players, some players being disappointed, and players should be disappointed. But again, the Blue Jays are getting some pretty heavy reinforcements coming up, and we shall see what happens with waivers, because this is where you put your money where your mouth is now in August. 98% of the players in the major leagues are going to be on waivers. And if the Blue Jays claim anybody, then there's a possibility that they could just get stuck with them and have to pay their whole ticket and all of that stuff. So if they claim anybody, then they got to have the money to claim them. Mike is in Ottawa. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thanks, Mike. It seems to me that manager Givens gets to the party usually a little later than normal. Tonight in the ninth inning, he should have had Francisco up a player beforehand. He needed that left-handed bat in there. And with Aaron Loop, no other manager in the league is going to leave him in after hitting a home run against him in a double in a game that's that close. He wasn't up 3 or 4 runs. He was down a run at the time.
After the double... What did Aaron Loop do that was bad after the double? He gave up a fly ball.
Yeah, but Mike, you don't get that chance to pitch that fly ball in a game that's that close when you show you've got nothing. A guy with no home runs got a home run right out of the gate.
Yes, he did. It was
then
a bad pitch.
Then a guy comes up next and he hits a double. Hammered it, by the way.
Yeah, but again, that's a guy who's hitting 450 against lefties or whatever it is.
Yeah, another thing about Valencia. Mike, you can't have him in there in that spot. I know... He's looked good, but by the end of the game, even the Astros and everybody else figured out he can't hit anything but a fastball.
Well, didn't he take a fastball?
He did, Mike, but I'm giving him credit for at least
And Juan Francisco can't hit anything but a fastball either, but meanwhile, somehow miraculously he's hitting 290 over the last week. So I don't think that's valid. I know that Danny Valencia... in general, is not a good hitter against right-handed pitching.
You need the big stick, though, in that situation. And he said Valencia isn't going to hit it a two-run homer.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. Has he proven to you that he can? I've seen Francisco, all the home runs he's got up in limited number of at-bats.
And you've also seen him strike out in half of his at-bats, haven't you?
Yeah, I'll take a chance on him accidentally hitting a curveball where the pitcher throws it, though, Mike.
Yeah, I think you're basing a little bit too much of your opinion on the two games you've seen of Danny Valencia. Here's the thing. The Blue Jays bench had Francisco Gosentoli on it. You have Valencia at the plate. I don't think it's a terrible thing to let Juan Francisco hit for him right there. I really don't. I don't think it was a necessity you're putting forth. You can't use... Well, see, I don't like that yet. I'm a fan of not worrying about the bottom of the ninth, just worrying about tying the game and not leaving a bullet in the chamber.
That's it. But you tie it first.
Right. But Valencia was 3 for 7 with a couple of doubles, some really hard hit balls, and he looked really good. And I think that John Gibbons wanted to give him an opportunity in that situation to see if he could come through again. I mean, if you had Adam Lind on the bench, then yeah, there's no way you let Danny Valencia hit in that situation. But Juan Francisco is Juan Francisco. And he's a guy who, you're right, could close his eyes and run into a ball and hit it out. But he's a guy who also strikes out almost half the time. So you're far from guaranteed. And the way that Valencia has been swinging since he got here, I don't have a huge, huge problem with it.
So he did that to appease the player, right, Mike?
No, he did it because the player had earned it.
He earned the right to go out, okay.
To go out?
Yeah, I mean, like, to strike out on the...
Well, no, that's just, you're being silly now.
Oh, okay. Anyway, thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you for the call. Earned the right to strike out. Come on. Simon is in London. Simon, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk. Hey, Simon. You there for me? Simon's not there. They don't like me in London. I don't know. That's too bad. Let's see if we can come a little bit further east. How about that? Jared is in Cambridge. How about you, Jared?
Yes, so, and what about Jared? Well, I'm going to say, with the last caller, I don't know what the hell he's talking about, and I don't think too many other people do, but...
Well, he made a couple of good points, but he kind of ruined it at the end there.
Yeah, I think, well, that was a dumper on it, but with regards to Valencia, he had strikes to recall that were not strikes. The last couple, the second one, questionable, but certainly the last one, that was not a strike on him. And, you know, it's not a biggie.
The last one was a strike.
Well, it was, but it wasn't.
No, it was. According to the Pitch FX box and all that stuff, it was a strike.
Okay, well, there was like three of us here with slow-mo replay activity going on, and we looked at it very closely, and it didn't pan out like that. But anyway, it is what it is. But there's no alarming going on here. I don't know what all the bitter batter chitter chatter is about as far as what the Jays are and what they aren't. What happened yesterday, it's gone. It didn't happen. It did happen. It's done. This crew that we got here is pretty solid. And Double-A is going to do what he can do. If you got, you know, if you love strawberry cheesecake and you go to a place and strawberry cheesecake isn't there, but they do have strawberry shortcake and a strawberry pie. Are you going to go for that when you're really hankering for something? You know, when you really want it, are you going to go for something second that's going to be the same price or even more? Forget about it. It just doesn't happen like that in the real world. I get the sad part about not getting something going on. And as far as the crew that we got, whoever is doing the little chitter-chatter about we should have gotten something and something should have happened, I believe that if something could have happened, it would have, and the price just wasn't worth it. And we've got the next round coming up now. We're on August 1st up to October 31st, or August 31st. It's going to cost a little bit more. Yeah, it could, but we've got to see what's available. Whoever did their move, they did their move. And, yeah, there's a couple teams that are pretty solid, loaded, pretty good. But you know something? We've been carrying on with this crew for quite some time now, and we've still got three majors coming back, three big faces, three big guys, three big talents coming back in the next couple of weeks. And I don't know how that can be a bad thing. I just don't get it. What do you think?
I agree with you. I do. I agree with you. I don't think, I mean, it would have been great to get Lester or Price. Honestly, would have been great to get Lester or Price. Prado, Drew, Azdrubal Cabrera. Those guys don't float my boat. I don't think that helps the Blue Jays as much as to be worth giving something up for. I really don't. Good players having bad years, all of them. John in Toronto, Blue Jays fall 3-1 to the Houston Astros tonight. You're up next on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Mike. You love the show. There are two things I just wanted to point out before I ask you about starting pitching that seem to afflict Jay fans. And I'm just going to, this is applicable for, you know, making decisions in life, managing risk, planning for the future, whatever you want. Think of these two things. One of them is hindsight bias. And the other is short-termism. They are both afflictions that, you know, I'm telling you
that applies
are,
to sports in general, doesn't it?
Yeah, a fair point. But I'm just saying it's so easy. Hindsight bias is one of the easiest things to let your mind get consumed with. And we never put ourselves in the position where we're looking at, you know, the long term, instead of we're always questioning a move that didn't work out. And in baseball, you have to sort of embrace fallibility, right? I mean, that's the beauty of the game. It's like, you know, there's going to be misses, there's going to be hits, there's going to be all these things. That's part of the beauty of the game. So I just want to remind Jay fans of hindsight bias. And also, when you're investing for the future, for God's sakes, don't look at the past. Look at the future and understand why people make decisions within the moment. I think it's really important to consider. But the other thing I just wanted to point out to you and get your opinion on was starting pitching. To me, that's everything, right? Look at what Billy Beane did in Oakland. He, 12 of 13 elimination games, right? They haven't had a game 7 or game 6 stud to go out there and get them under Billy Beane's management in Oakland. So he went out and got Lester, and it's a great move. And then look at Detroit, the best pitching staff in baseball. I mean, if you're going to lay a bet, I mean, for God's sake, make it on Detroit and make it now, because those are the four best starting pitchers, like the best pitching staff in baseball. So in the other two trends, major league ready players and flexibility in your roster, I think the Jays have that. You know, like, I think Alex and Gibby do a great job of trading for major league ready players, a trend today in baseball, and then flexibility in your roster to go against left-handed and right-handed pitching and keep bats in the lineup when you need to do it. But when it comes down to it, Mike, we just do not have that stud that Billy Beane is talking about that we can throw out there in a game, like were we to make the playoffs, in a game 4 or a game 7 that's just going to, game 1, 4, and 7, that's just going to get us over the top.
Well, nobody does anymore. It. Remember, nobody pitches game 1, 4, and 7.
Right? St. Louis, Detroit, Oakland.
No, but I mean, nobody pitches 3 games in a 7-game series anymore.
Well,
that's stopped happening 10, 15 years ago. But they don't, you're right, they don't have...
It's the only thing we're lacking, bud. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, but a lot of teams don't have that. Detroit happens to have 3, and you could argue that they have a fourth in Aníbal Sanchez. Oakland has 2 or 3, which makes them very, very dangerous.
I think they only have 1. I'm actually think that Oakland staff's a little overrated. Hamill has not worked out for them, all these Jay fans that
I'm
want
I'm not
it.
Considering Jason Hamill at all.
Right,
Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray, you still want to throw Sonny Gray out there, or Kazmir?
Kazmir's their fourth starter.
Right, but I'm just saying, now they got Lester. That's their stud.
Yeah, but
R.A. Dickey, I just don't want to make our number one guy, because you just can't trust the consistency of a knuckleball. As much as I love him, I'd love to have him in the rotation, and Burley and Hutch and Stroh and all that depth that's starting pitching. I just want the stud, and it's a hard thing to come by. You're right. I mean,
yeah, and you know what? God bless them. They didn't have one in 1993. They didn't have one in 1993, the Blue Jays, and they wound up winning the World Series.
Yeah,
You know? Their best pitcher had an ERA of 3.87 and a whip over 1.3. And I love Pat Hankin. I do. But those aren't spectacular numbers. And yet they managed to win with the bats, and that's what this team is going to have to do.
But you know that's not possible. You get to play off baseball, and it's
don't say it
because
it's not
Mike.
True.
You
it's,
know that
it's not
all
true.
Starting pitching, Mike.
It's not. It's not.
It
look at
not.
What Detroit did last year against Boston. Look at the Tigers and the Red Sox in the ALCS. What were there 5 games where the Red Sox had like 1 hit or fewer going into the 6th inning because of the unbelievable starting pitching of the Tigers, and the Red Sox wind up winning the series and winning the World Series. It's not a foregone conclusion that the team with
your opinion and a good point, but it's all relative.
It's
a fact. You have to look at what the other 29 teams are doing, and if they're all loading up on their starting pitching, then you know you can't just sort of not manage risk properly and go against the grain and build a lineup in the AL East that is all about offense. When was the last offensive juggernaut to win the World Series? I mean, starting pitching beats it all.
Do you remember Derek Brandeo, our fine technical director, brings this up? You remember the Atlanta Braves?
Yes.
3 Hall of Famers in their starting rotation for a decade?
Yeah, well, you're making my point. What's
how many World Series did they win?
1, but they won 12 division titles or whatever.
World Series.
Right.
The playoffs.
They didn't have that stud between Glavin, Maddox, Avery, whoever you wanted to go down the They didn't have that stud. I mean, they had.
Are you kidding me? Greg Maddux might have been the best pitcher of all time.
I know, but a shutdown Game 7 stud.
Oh,
okay?
Come on.
What?
You cannot say that a team that had Maddux, Glavin, and Smoltz on it didn't have a shutdown stud. All three of them are going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Who can go 7 or 8 innings?
Yeah.
Who's got 4 pitches?
Yes.
Who?
Greg Maddux
is
one of the great. Look, I can't have this discussion if you're not going to give me this point, because you're completely wrong. Greg Maddux is one of the greatest pitchers of all time, maybe even top 5. And Tom Glavin's in the Hall of Fame, and John Smoltz is going to the Hall of Fame. They won 1 World Series. Because the playoffs are an entirely different animal. And the playoffs, you don't need depth in the playoffs. And you don't need the things that make you win over 162 games don't make you win a best of 5 or a best of 7. Those are coin flips almost no matter who's playing. And I know we like to tell tales of wonder about, you know, great clutchness and heroicness and whatever. The truth of the matter is, if you win a best out of 7, way more often than not, it's determined by luck. Pat Borders was a World Series MVP. Mark Lemke could have been a World Series MVP. And I think he may actually have won an NLCS MVP. Don't give up. Because the Tigers and Oakland have done what they've done with their starting pitching, and their starting pitching is unbelievable. But it's no guarantee. Tigers had Verlander, Scherzer, and Sanchez last year, and Doug Fister. They didn't even win the pennant. And they lost to a team that had John Lackey in its starting rotation, and Felix DuBrant. A team that had Felix DuBrant in its starting rotation won the World Series last year. Peter is in Mississauga. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Mike. I'll get to my point, and I'm actually kind of, I am disappointed at the trade deadline by the Jays not doing anything, and I think it sends a really bad message to not only the team, as we heard from Batista and Jensen, but I think to the league. And I think you can, when the Jays were winning World Series in the early 90s, they were going for Pat Gillick, was going after everything that was available, whether it was Cone or Henderson, you name it.
Sure.
They all wanted to come here because they knew the Jays were going to go and get and do whatever it takes to win a World Series, and that's what happened.
Well, it should be noted that neither David Cone nor Ricky Henderson had any choice as to whether or not they could come here.
Well, yes, but they knew they were coming to a team that was going to, at the time had the highest payroll in the league. So they were going to, money was no object. So when Rogers... Or when we hear this, it's money, the wallets are going to be open if he wanted to go out and get anything. Like, I don't buy that from a publicly traded company like Rogers.
Uh-huh.
But that's another topic. But what my point I'm saying is that, when Batista is saying comments like this, when he's saying every team in contention is doing something, maybe not Lester, maybe not Lackey, maybe not Price, I understand that. But they're doing something at the deadline to show some effort that they're serious. You know, it's not only players on the team, but what about players, in the off season that are free agents or thinking about signing with Toronto? I mean, are we going to head into the fact like what the Raptors are going through with Toronto, where a lot of players don't want to play in Toronto because they're not a team that's in contention and all that? I'm afraid that's where Toronto's heading. The Jays are heading, and. I'll give you an example.
Well, the Jays haven't been in contention in 21 years.
All right. And now you got a window of opportunity in the American League East to win the division.
Yep.
And you don't go for it. I'm sorry, but...
Well, wait a minute. Is making a minor trade just to show... And first of all, that's when big mistakes get made. Don't kid yourself. When you feel like you have to make a trade for the sake of making a trade because it's not something you really need, but you got to show people you're serious... Which to me is an enormous load of crap, but whatever. But that's when you make mistakes. But so now you're saying the Blue Jays' failure to make a minor trade to add a guy who's, a Marty Prado or an Asdrubal Cabrera, a guy who's probably not as good as a guy he's going to replace at the cost of an asset, that's going for it?
No, I'm not saying it has to be minor. I'm saying... I find it hard to believe that the Jays could not have offered more for even Lackey than what they gave up for. Now, I'm not saying...
Did you see what John Lackey brought back?
Yes, but do you honestly think that Batista was really the guy that they were going to have to give up? I mean, honestly...
For Lackey, no, but for Price... Or, sorry, for Lester.
So wouldn't Lackey look good in the Blue Jays uniform right now?
They traded Joe Kelly and Alan Craig to get John Lackey.
And you don't think, Stroman or Sanchez would...
I'm not trading Stroman or Sanchez for John Lackey.
I think both, but they could be part of a package with a...
No! I'm not trading either one of them for John Lackey. They're both better than Lackey now.
Well, I don't know how you can say that with a really short stint that we've had Sanchez or Stroman. I mean,
I say it because because John Lackey's 2 years removed from having an ERA of 6.5.
But he's also got a World Series ring, does he not?
Yeah. Turner Ward has a World Series ring.
What experience does Stroman have in a playoff?
Felix DuBront has a World Series ring.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but you got to get there first to have an opportunity to win a World Series. And if you don't go for it when their door's open, because I don't think this door is going to be open for too long.
Well, wait a minute. But if you have to get there first to have an opportunity, then how can you besmirch the name of a Marcus Stroman who's in his first season in the major leagues? How can you say he's not good enough?
He's showing us he's got potential, but there are a lot of players in the league that are showing potential that turn out to be nothing.
Uh-huh.
Guaranteed. And, and if Stroman's part of a package that could have been available to get Price, I still don't believe that Batista would have had to have been given up for Price. But,
And no one's suggesting that.
No, but you don't think they could have offered somebody for Price? You wouldn't give up Stroman and Sanchez for Price right now?
No, I wouldn't. I'd give up one of them. As part of a package, but not Stroman. I would give up Sanchez and something small, but that's not what Tampa was looking for. Look, you can't...
One more last thing before I let you go. Just one last thing.
All right,
thing.
But make it make sense, please.
Okay, but if Batista was... His contract came up for renewal next year. What do you think the odds of him signing with the Jays next year after his comments and what, the Jays doing nothing? What do you think the odds of him staying with the Jays or re-signing after, hearing his thoughts on this?
I think it would depend on how much money the Blue Jays offered him and how many years they offered him. I do. And I think that's what it would come down to more than anything else for any player. It comes down to how much money, how many years. I don't know how many more times I can say this. I'm fine with the players being upset. I am. And if ownership has to make their case to them to try to bring them back, then that's because of what happened yesterday. But I don't think anybody can tell me that a minor player added to a team who's probably not as good as the guy whose place he's going to take makes his team better. I'm sorry. We're out of time. I'm sorry for that too. Back at 6:30 tomorrow night with the pregame show. Thanks to you all for calling. We will talk to you then.